Well, good morning, church. And as you could tell, based on that video, we are currently in the Gospel of Luke. And so if you haven't been with us the last few months, we've been going through the whole book of Luke, and we've been dividing it up into different acts. Right now, we are currently in Act 4, and so we're learning about the parables and the teachings from Jesus. And a little bit about me, if I haven't gotten the chance to meet you yet, is I'm currently doing my master's degree through Liberty University online. But for my undergraduate degree, I actually did that at Liberty University residentially down in Virginia. And one of my happiest memories about Liberty was getting to do intramural sports. And so they had all these awesome little intramural sports that we could all take part in. And I just remember my sophomore year, I did like 5 or 6 of them, and they were all like 1 or 2 hours a week. And I just remember coming home to my roommate one day just saying, like, this is getting insane. Like, this is almost like a part-time job. This is like 10 to 15 hours a week. It was getting crazy, but I really did love it so much. And I remember my sophomore and junior year, we had this basketball team that we put together. And to be honest, we weren't the best. We weren't winning a whole lot of games, and it wasn't very successful. But I do remember also that, you know, my roommate and I, we shared this deep frustration because, you know, the refs there, they were just other students. And so a lot of the times they would miss calls, they wouldn't be paying attention to the game, they wouldn't really care. And so, you know, we'd go up for a layup, we'd get fouled, and then the ref wouldn't blow the whistle. There would be no foul call for us. And we'd be so frustrated by that because here we are giving it everything we had on the basketball court. We get fouled, and we never heard the whistle, never heard anything from the ref. And I just remember we truly felt hopeless, like there was just nothing we could do. You know, we would give all this effort, and then here are the refs just not doing anything. And the reason that I bring that up this morning is I wonder if many of us in the room this morning have experienced something similar in our lives. Maybe it's not refs missing a bad call on the basketball court, but maybe it's different experiences you've gone through in life. Maybe for you, you were wronged by someone. Someone sinned against you, treated you in a way in which they shouldn't have treated you, and nothing was done about it. Or maybe for you, you experienced some kind of life trial. Maybe some kind of suffering or hardship or a loss in your life. And you just truly felt hopeless. You felt like there was nothing you could do about it. And so the question I want all of us to ask this morning is, in those moments, in those experiences that we have, because they are sure to come, what is it that we do with that? When those trials come our way and we feel helpless, what are we to do? Well, today as we come to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, Jesus is going to tell us what we do in those moments in life. And so starting in verse 1, it says this. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there is a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there is a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The first thing that I want all of us to see here in this parable is we have two characters here. The first character we have is this judge. And if you look at the historical context, the judges back then, they had a lot of power. They had this high status where everyone viewed them as these judges that ruled and controlled the justice system in their culture. But here in the texts, we're told that this judge doesn't fear God. He doesn't fear God. So when the Old Testament says that judges are to rule justly and to defend those who are oppressed, this judge doesn't care about that. He doesn't fear God. The text also says that this judge doesn't care about man. And so if people have some kind of injustice towards them, he doesn't care. And the second character that we meet here is this widow. And if you look at the historical context on the widows in this society, they were often cast out. They were They were oppressed. They weren't cared for. They often didn't have much money to support themselves, and they were often helpless, and they didn't have someone to care for them. And so here we are with this parable, with this judge and this widow. And so let's see what happens when they meet here. Starting in verse 2. He said, "In a certain city there is a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while, he refused." Does your heart break for this widow? The widow is said to have this adversary. We don't know what this adversary did to this widow, but he did something to her. He treated her in a way in which she shouldn't have been treated. Some wrong, some sin was committed against this widow. And she knew that that shouldn't have happened. She knew that that was wrong, that she shouldn't have been wronged in some way. And so she goes to this judge and pleads her case. It says that she kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." Yet nothing happens. The judge refuses her. He's silent, leaving her helpless. Nothing that she can do about it. One person can give her justice. Nothing. Has that happened in your life? Have you had an experience where you felt like that widow? Maybe for you, you were bullied at school. Or maybe at work, someone said something about you, did something to you. Maybe someone just wronged you in some way, and you went to someone about that. You entrusted that to them. You confided in them. Nothing happened. Maybe they didn't take you seriously. They didn't listen to you. They dismissed you. And like this judge, they refused you. I think that's something that happens a lot in our culture. I think there's a lot of widows out there. Maybe there's a lot of widows here today who have felt like her, who have experienced that. But have you ever asked the question of, why is the world like this? Jesus is the one giving this parable. That means God is aware. He knows that there's this horror happening here. Why is the world filled with so much evil, darkness, and suffering? If God is this amazing God, why would he create a world that would have so much darkness? Well, the truth is, if you look back in the book of Genesis, you see that this isn't what God wanted. When God created the world, he wasn't mapping out all the ways in which people would be wronged and creating things that would just be horrible and sinful. That's not what God wanted. God created everything perfect. And we had one thing to do: go be fruitful, multiply. But then we chose to go our own way. We chose the sin. We chose the darkness. And I think many of us feel that today. We still feel that weight. We feel that the world is not the way that it should be. We turn on the news, we see what's going on in our kids' schools, and we see so many people being hurt. We see so many trials, so many people who are suffering, experiencing hardship and loss. And we know that it shouldn't be like this, right? This isn't how it was meant to be. God didn't create it like this. I remember last spring, I watched this movie for the first time. It was called All Quiet on the Western Front, and it tells this story about World War I, and the whole movie, you follow this one soldier. And one of the things that I found so profound about the movie is, in the very beginning, there's this scene where, you know, he's getting all of his equipment, his helmet, and he's excited about going to war, and him and all of his friends, you know, they're cheering, they're excited, they're singing these songs, they're marching off to battle, they're ready, they're excited, they're going to go fight for their country. But then they get there, and they go through these horrifying experiences, these inhumane things in the battle. And at the very end of the movie, they're about to go back out for the last fight, and then there's this one close-up shot of that same soldier, and you could just see it on his face, the weight, the pain, the hurt, the suffering, the horror that he experienced. That innocent boy that was cheering and excited to go off to war not long ago was gone. All the weight and the horrors that he experienced in battle left him broken and crushed. I think when many of us look in the mirror, we see a similar face. Where we look back at a point in time where we were filled with so much excitement for life and all that it might entail, yet now, after all the things we've experienced, the trials we've gone through, we see someone looking back at us who's just so beaten up and broken. But I'm here to tell you this morning that that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to use these trials, these hardships, to destroy you. Did you know that? John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Those trials, those hardships that you're going through, the enemy wants to twist those and use those to destroy you. As the text says, he is a thief who only comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's exactly what he wants to do in the midst of the battles and struggles and burdens that you're going through. But Jesus Christ came down with a different agenda. And do you know what it was? It was to bring eternal life to you so that even though there's this enemy that's attacking you, there's someone greater than your enemy. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he came that you may have abundant life. Right now, what the enemy wants to do is to drive you away from Jesus. You've been created to go to him, to run to him in prayer, like this widow who went to that judge day after day after day. That is how you are wired. Yet this enemy chose to come and destroy you and to point you away from God so that you wouldn't go to him like this widow. Hear from Jesus Christ. He came to bring you abundant life. Run to him. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Amen. Trust that, church. Trust that. Even though you look around and you don't see it, even though you might look inside yourself and you don't feel it, trust that God truly is using this for good. The text doesn't say one or two things, a few things, most things. No, the text says all things. No matter what it is you're going through, God is using it for good. I don't know how, I don't know when you're going to see it, but you will see it eventually because God is using all things for good. So let's come back to our parable. We have this widow. We have this widow who is wronged and sinned against in some way and has this adversary. And let's see what she chooses to do about it. Verse 3. "And there is a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" Notice how the text says, who kept coming to him. She kept going to this judge. You know, what I find very interesting about that is, it doesn't say she went other places first. It doesn't say, before going to the judge, she decided to take a trip with her friends to Rome and hit up Little Caesar's Tavern just to get away from things. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that they decided to go to Greece and to check out, you know, the chariot races there and see what that's all about just to get their mind off things and just get away from it all. Doesn't say that. What does the text say? It says that she kept going to the judge. There was one person that she went to in the face of her adversary. It was this judge. And do you know why that is? Do you know why she chose to keep going to this judge? It's because she knew that there was only one person that could help her in this trial of hers with this adversary, and it was the judge. There was no one else. If she went off and ran away from things, that wouldn't have fixed it. If she chose to hide from it, that wouldn't have fixed it. There was one person that could grant her justice, and it was this judge, and she chose to go to him day after day. It says she kept coming to him. She kept going to this judge. How often in our lives do we fail to do that? Where we have this trial in life, and rather than going to Jesus in prayer, we choose to go somewhere else. Maybe for you, you choose to run. You see something that you just can't handle, and you choose to run away. I can't handle this. I can't do it. Or maybe for you, you choose to turn to yourself. You think, I have to figure this out on my own. I need to muster it up within me to get through this. And perhaps you've realized it doesn't seem to work. Those trials that you're in, That doesn't seem to fix it. Because only Jesus can. There's only one person that you are to run to. And like this widow ran to that judge, we ought to keep running to Jesus in prayer. Psalm 62:8 says, pour out your heart before him. That is what the scripture is calling you to do, to not run away from your problems, not hide from them, but to pour them out before Jesus. That's what the widow was doing. She was pleading with the judge her case, saying, please give me justice against my adversary. This was the hardest thing she had going on in her life. That's why she kept going to him, because she cared about this. This mattered to him. So she kept going to this judge. And the scripture is calling you to do the same thing. Amen. We all have different things that we have going on in our lives, but we're all called to go to the same person, and that's Jesus Christ. Listen to Psalm 62. Pour out your heart before him, day after day after day. Even though you may not feel it all the time, trust that God is there. He hears your cry, and he's calling you. Pour out your heart before him. But why don't we do that? The scripture is very clear that that's what we ought to do, but I think many of us still look at ourselves and we see that we don't go to Jesus in prayer the way in which we know we should. I think one of the biggest reasons that we don't go to the Lord in prayer is at some point in our lives, maybe even currently, we've gone to the Lord in prayer and he seemed to be silent. It felt like this judge, it felt like he was refusing us. We were pleading our case, asking the Lord to heal a loved one, asking the Lord to fix this trial that we're in. Yet he seemed to be like this judge and refuse us. But do you see what Jesus is teaching us through this parable? He is showing us that he does hear us. He uses this judge who is just unjust, who doesn't fear God, doesn't care about man. Yet even when this widow kept going to him, what does the text say? Starting in verse 4, it says this, for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Jesus is showing you that if even this unjust judge who doesn't care about anything, if even he will eventually do the right thing and grant justice to this widow, how much more will a perfect God hear us? How much more will a perfect, loving God hear our cries? Psalm 145, verses 18 to 19 says this, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Hear that word, church. God hears your cry. Even though it may feel like he's silent right now, he hears you. And he's calling you through this parable to keep going to him. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going to him in prayer day after day. Cry out to him. The scripture says to cry out to him, to pour your heart out before him. That's what he's calling you to do. Amen. Even though God seems silent, he does hear you and he does care about you. But as I was preparing, there was this one verse that was just so heavy on my heart. I couldn't get over it. And it was verse 7. It was verse 7, and it says this, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Who cry to him day and night. See, my heart, when I read that, just broke. It just broke because I know there's people out there who don't have someone to cry to. And maybe that's you here this morning. Maybe this is the first time you're ever hearing about Jesus. Maybe this is the first time you're ever hearing about this God who created you and you've experienced these hardships and these trials in your life, and you've never had someone to cry out to, and you felt so stranded, like you have nothing out there for you. But I'm here this morning to tell you that there is someone out there. There's someone who created you, who put the heartbeat inside you, who put the stars in the sky. And he wants you, because right now you are separated from your God because of your sin and because of your rebellion. We've all done it here. Yet God made a way for you to come back to him, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead, so that whoever would repent and place their faith and trust in him would be reborn as a child of God, given a new citizenship, a citizenship in heaven, given full right to cry out to God. And your cries will be heard by your Creator. Let me plead with you. Run back to Jesus. Come to him. He has made a way for you. And he loves you so very much, so much that he would die on the cross so that you could be saved, given a new heart, given a new spirit, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Amen. That's your God. But there was actually one other verse that I was actually wrestling with. This past week, I kept reading it, and it was giving me a lot of trouble, so let me read it before you all right now. It's actually verse 1, and it says this: "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." It's the second half of that verse. They ought always to pray and not lose heart. Doesn't that seem impossible? I just think, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm strong enough to do that. And as I was thinking about that, I was actually reminded of one of my childhood favorite movies, and it was The Incredibles. If you've never seen The Incredibles, it tells the story of these superheroes, and there's this one superhero family, and their dad, whose name is Mr. Incredible, and he has this super strength, and he seems fearless, and like he can truly do anything. Yet there's this one scene towards the end of the movie, and they're about to, you know, have all these battles coming up with the bad guy, and he's looking at his wife, and he knows that they're going to be in danger if they go out to battle. And he has this one line that he said that was just so profound, and it just really left an impact on me. And he said this: "I can't lose you again. I'm not strong enough. I can't lose you again. I'm not strong enough." Here's this superhero who should be able to do anything, yet here's this battle in front of him, and he thinks he can't do it. Sure, he's Mr. Incredible, but he says that he's not strong enough. I think that's how a lot of us feel about prayer. We look at other areas of our lives and we think, I've got this, I can do it. But then we look at prayer and we think, I'm not strong enough. I can't be like this widow. I can't keep going to God in the midst of these trials. The darts and the enemy, they're too painful. I'm not strong enough. I can't keep going to him in prayer. So how do we fix this, church? How do we find the strength to keep going to him in prayer? Because I think that a lot of us wrestle with that challenge of, I don't feel like I'm strong enough to keep praying. The weight of the enemy seems to be too strong. Well, I think we truly need to hear the words of verse 8, which says this: "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Here's Jesus. He tells us this whole prayer, this whole parable that's supposed to teach people to pray and to not lose heart. And that's what this whole parable is about. Yet here he is after the parable. And what does he say? What does he point it to? He points it to his return. He points it to his second coming. Because I truly believe that all of these trials in our lives that we're going through that ought to point us to the Lord in prayer, the enemy wants to use those things to drive us away from God, away from prayer. And he wants to take our eyes off of Jesus and to make us forget about his second coming. Because that's what our hearts want, right? Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore. That's what's awaiting us, church. That's what Jesus promised. He promised that he is coming back. That yes, right now we have these horrible trials, and we look around and we see so much evil, death, and suffering in the world, yet Jesus promised that there is a day coming where that will just be gone forever. No more mourning, no more death, no more crying. Everything will be perfect. We'll be filled with eternal peace and joy as we spend eternity with our Savior. That is our hope, and that is what Jesus is pointing to, that day is coming, and his simple question is, when he does come, will there be faith on the earth? Will we be a church that is praying? Don't listen to the enemy. Don't let the enemy take your eyes off of that hope. Don't let the enemy drive you away from prayer to the Lord. Hear from Jesus that day is coming. And let's hold fast to that as a church. Allow that to drive us to the Lord in prayer. Yes, right now I look down and I see horrors. But I'm not going to let that drive me to despair. I'm going to let that drive me to Jesus as I cry out to him, awaiting his return, awaiting his promise that he's going to make all things right and make all things new. And as a church, may we pray together Revelation 22:20, which says, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the cry of our hearts. Amen. That longing that we all feel, something just is missing. This is what it is. It's Jesus. We long for this day. Right now we look around and we see so much brokenness in our world, yet that day is coming. And until that day comes where Jesus returns and makes all things perfect, we cry out as a church, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's what we long for. So may we pray that, church, persistently, like this widow. As that widow kept going to that judge, may we keep going to Jesus saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. We want you. We're ready for you. Please, even so come, Lord Jesus. And so at this time, I'd like to invite the worship team up for one final song. And before they come up, I want to ask you a simple question. What's your answer to Jesus when he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What's your answer to that? Let me encourage you to say yes, he will. We as the body of Christ, we're down here and we're trusting you, Jesus. We're awaiting you, Jesus. You have saved us, you have redeemed us, and you have given us this gift of faith in you. And we will keep praying. We will be like this widow. We will cry out together day after day, Sunday after Sunday as a church. Even so come, Lord Jesus, because that day is coming, church. It is coming. Jesus is going to return. So let's await eagerly as a church and cry out together, even so come, Lord Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you this morning in prayer, and we thank you for your Son, that you sent him to save us, to give us hope. So, Lord, I pray for every single person in this room that we may hold fast to the hope that day is coming where all things will be new and all things will be perfect. And, Lord, I pray that we may be persistent in our prayer, that we may cry out to you day after day, pour our hearts out before you. And that we may trust that you truly do hear us, and you truly do love us, and you truly are coming back. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your Son. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.